And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Join me today is Wario Will.
Okay, now that the hype has kind of died down to all in Fall Guys, but I just gotta say, just getting all these dubs under my name, it feels so good. Just getting all these dubs.
And also here is Talia's Tyler.
Fall Guys, last week I was enamored with it, and this week I'm like, that looks like it's old. Like, yeah. I feel like you'd get sick of it after, like, a week or two of playing. It just, it doesn't seem like there's... It goes back to that Mario Party comparison. Like, the reason that that game, I think, is so replayable is actually more bored than the minigames. Like, if you were playing the same 40 minigames over and over and over for 30-second spans, you get sick of it. I feel like Fall Guys is going to fall into that.
It is current fad right now. I mean, we're only in the first season. They actually just recently updated with one more new final minigame, which was previously available in the beta. But yeah, obviously it's the first one. It's the current fad right now. It's going to be up to Piatonic if they want to continue on with it, especially when we're going to season two.
All right, well, we'll get to that because we're going to take a slightly different approach with the show tonight because, honestly, not a lot of news. Like, it was really dead. I mean, last week we were saved because of the Q1 result, which I have a slight amendment to that a little bit later. But there's nothing that would take like 30 to 40 minutes to talk about. So what we're going to do is we're going to do our usual beginning segment, and then we're going to have three different just fun, relaxing, and engaging Nintendo topics. So I hope you all enjoy this. But we're going to start off with, of course, what have you been playing? Not much. I know I said last week that I was gonna try so hard to, you know, get back into games and everything, but then I got hit with like a slam's worth of work and it took me so long to get done, and then Monday, Tuesday was just dreadful. Wednesday I had so much shows to watch, including the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3 out of 5. But, the only thing I've honestly been consistently playing is Fire Emblem Heroes, of which I am, you know, slowly rebuilding my orbs. And I do want to note one thing, and I've noticed this for a long, long time, but when it comes to Tempest Trials, especially when you have, like, you're in, like, the top two purple ones, like I like to do, in the last level, there's always that one character that is just so OP, it's wrong. You know, like, even when you have, like, your best-raised characters, like my Brave Ike, or my Fjorm, or my Mia, or in this case, Tibarn, you know, my characters aren't slouches. And yet, the character was the pair of Veronica and
Xander
in the pirate form. And for whatever reason, they're able to, like, do 40 damage twice to my Ike, and to Tibarn. And it's crazy. It's like, you shouldn't be this powerful. I mean, my characters are not slouches. And I beat them eventually, especially since my second round of characters have Micaiah, who's good against horses and tank units. But it's so annoying, because I have to have my Tibarn, like, at a certain amount of health, and make sure that he can kill them, because if he's, like, just below, what, like, half or something, they can kill it back. And it's so annoying! And then other times, like Karel, Merida, and certain other ones, they are just, for whatever reason, so insanely stupidly skilled that even against the best characters that should kill them instantly, they fight back! I'm like, stop it!
Merida sucks, like, so much of the fun of the game out for me.
Exactly! And there's two of them!
Yeah, she's like, that stupid skill she has that cuts her, the damage that she takes by like 40%. Exactly. She like will survive like Reinhardt, like throwing two attacks at her. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I hate it because it's like, especially when I get those characters in like the first round, I might be able to escape by, but if it's like second or third, they're like full power, and I either have to use Eleonora? Like from Tokyo. Mirage Sessions, and because she has the air with the bow that will hit twice and you can't hit back, so I always get good with that one. And then I have to either position Ike in a certain way to power up somebody or let someone else take like a major hit. But it's so annoying because again, I'm just blasting through the Tempest Trial to get the orb so I can be ready for the next summon session. I'm not doing this for like, you know, personal benefit. Once I hit the 50,000 point mark, I'm done. I'm not touching this thing
again.
And it's so annoying when I'm like, okay, here it comes. Here's Xander and Veronica. Oh, darn it. They beat Tiburon this time. Where's Ike? Can he do it? Like, Ike, my brave Ike, who is, you know, super powerful. I think I got him with a +1. He's got Vantage 3 and really strong attack and everything. He does, like, 6 damage to Veronica of Xander. Makes no sense. All right. If they were a blue or a red tank unit or something like that, I could kind of understand. But it's green. It's the same color. Like, ah. But and I did get to play a little bit of Fire Emblem Three Houses. I just got done with the Valley of Torment mission, and I figured out that there's actually a special Rhea side mission, which I didn't know about before, and so that's gonna be interesting to try. And then ironically, the bad guy general from House Row that you fight in the Valley of Torment, he knew Yuri, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. I had Yuri fight him on accident, and I was like, oh, they actually have an actual conversation. That's really cool. And then they follow up with that in there. So I like how the Cindered the Ashen Wolves really do figure into all of this. So it's the continuity I like as a storyteller. But hopefully I'll be. Also, I love that Balthus has like a major crush on Judith. Just like, cause that's so him. Is it? Cause yeah, of course he would love a strong woman. Why not?
I wish Judith was playable.
Yeah,
like Judith's a really good character design. I would have liked to have her like even if it's just the Golden Deer, you know, as like that mentor character. They could have done it for Rodrigue as well in Blue Lions. They could have made him playable.
And then they could have had Rhea as a unit in Silver Snow.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, like, there's always a little things you can do to make it even better. And then who would have been for Black Eagles?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who it would have been for Black Eagles. That one's tricky.
I mean, the fact that we already gotten Cesario, the Death Knight already, that's kind of already one of them.
So. Oh, great point. That is who it would be, and that is in the game. Yeah.
Or her uncle.
Possibly.
Lord Arendelle. But I think that it's like alluded that Lord Arendelle's actually a Slithery boy. He's not actually Lord Arendelle.
They already noted that he was. Like he was the reason why after they killed the head of the Fargus Dukedom, like he was ticked, and so he gave the order to blow up the Arendelle or whatever. So. But yeah, like there's subtle things I could have done, but you know, maybe next time. But anyway, so I honestly haven't been playing that much. I will be changing this weekend because I don't have too much work coming, and I would have done it today, but I got hit with work because one of my bosses didn't tell me something. Thank you so much for ruining my night. But you know who you are. He doesn't know. He doesn't listen to this podcast. He doesn't know I do this, so I can say that. But yeah, it's been a light gaming week, and hopefully that will be changing.
Yeah, because funny enough as well, because I'm looking at the Japanese YouTube as well, because I believe around tonight there's gonna be another Faye channel that's happening.
I saw that on YouTube. That was weird.
Yeah, so, because I think they're pretty much planning for the next because they did warn us of like the mid August month update. So after this podcast, and once we wake up in the morning, we're gonna see what's perhaps is gonna choose the legends, but who knows. So yeah, Fire Emblem here, a Fate channel is coming up very soon after this podcast. But and back on topic regarding to what I've been playing, as usual, I have been continuing on with Fall Guys. And granted, it is the same, like it is the current fad. I will admit that it is the current fad, the big thing right now, especially with just the 24 mini games, but now added 25 because of that recent update for today. But yeah, I can definitely understand. It definitely has that Mario Party syndrome. There is that possibility and of that tedium because, like, yeah, you're just gonna play the same list of 24 and the list. It is that. It is the battle royale genre. It really is depend on your own play style. But personally, for me, I haven't actually gotten tired of it too much of it as of yet because one just been earning. Like until I reach up to that level cap of level 40, there is something to work at. Work towards too, until like once you hit that level cap, all you just gotta do is like grab basically earn more kudos or currency or get more crowns to get more better extra loot, because last I checked, yeah, recently they actually released a lot of like ninja gear, which again, you know me and me, I love ninjas, so but God, thankfully I had enough crowns to get myself the ninja outfit, so that's kind of nice. But yeah, overall, it's like Fall Guys, it's good. I mean, again, I understand it can be tiresome, it could be tedium, but once you hit that level cap of 40, and then once they announce news of the second season, then we'll see how they continue on. So overall, I have been continuing enjoying Fall Guys. And yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes, pretty much the same as usual. I also been grinding up orbs, continuing on the Tempest Travels myself as well. And naturally, I've also been playing a bit of Overwatch because we are in the second week of the Summer Game event, which I believe is a special skin for Bastion, whichever, if I remember correctly. So just basically juggling on the three games, and of course naturally been trying to get myself back on Wii Fit Adventure, which Tyler, I'm not sure you've like reached that pass point already, but like you ever tried the entire leg regiment?
Is it in the main story?
It is part of the main story, but yeah, you'll also be outside of it. It's like it's right after you've been in the world of Sparta. Like
I'm in the world of Sparta right now.
Yeah, like once you're doing that whole entire ligament, especially like I believe that one's called a mountain hike. Like you have to be on plank position and then just bring your legs back and forth together. Yeah, back up to your chest. Yeah, I could not. I mean, it was bad enough. I was like doing like two world maps, running, and then doing the whole squat things and all that. But when doing that leg regimen right afterwards, yeah, my legs just gave out. I was just so tired from the leg. Like it was like, nope, nope, I can't do it. It's been 30 minutes already. I'm like, no, my legs gave out, and yeah, my quads, my thighs, just no. They were screaming.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so that's what I say. It's hilarious for me because that you're screaming in so much pain. See, I probably need to get Ring Fit Adventure because I've been working out now for 42 days, and outside of my arms being noticeably stronger, like I can feel the muscle there even when I'm not even flexing, so that shows I'm getting some progress. My gut is still here, all right? And I'm seeing like my mother told me that she lost like 4 pounds just doing the total gym, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Well, Todd, you're still eating fatty food. Shut up!
Right.
That's really like, that's so... For me, like this quarantine has not been good for my physique, so I've got a nice little tum right now, and it like I would kind of keep up with the exercise fairly well in the beginning. The dieting is like unfortunately
critical. That's the most important.
And for all of you health nuts out there, yes, I know that it's 85% diet and 15% exercise. This is my not caring face.
Right, I disagree. Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I think everybody's body
is
different.
This is from my very fit brother-in-law who barely talks, but when he does talk, it's like, you should probably listen. I'm like, fine. But don't ask me about politics. Oh my gosh, he will go off on politics. Don't get me started.
Ring Fit Adventure still have been very well at it. And yeah, it just kind of stinks for my work schedule. Like, the only time I can work out is on the weekend, so it only leaves me 2 days of the week, but I try to like keep that 30-minute session at least. So kind of stinks for me. While everyone, while most people are still in quarantine, they can do it 8, 4, 7 times, like 5 times a week, which really still stinks, which kind of makes me wish I still was in quarantine right now and don't have to go to work. But what can I do? But so yeah, overall, just those three games, some games, so I'm keeping fairly busy until like the next major thing, which...
I find it hilarious, like, the turnabout of Fall Guys. I know you guys were talking about this earlier, but, like, last week, like, I was seeing it on, like, Twitter, like, oh, the Fall Guys thing is blowing. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then Will's talking about it and screaming about it in his intro, which apparently he heard, he listened to, like, 20 times because he likes the sound of his own voice. And they say, I'm arrogant, everybody. My gosh. But, like, and then in our Discord, where we have all of our other members of Outer Haven, they're all, like, ragging on Fall Guys and talking about how it's, like, so over right now and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that was quick.
Only two people with Maddie and Mace I have played back on Sunday nights. And, again, we personally love it. It's, like, it is that, like, you either get it or you don't. So, like, what is this thing? I mean, granted, there is that popular bashing, to say the least. Yeah,
it looks like a lot of fun, just a lot of fun, like, for a few days. And then I think I would get sick of it, just because it is those same mini games over and over and over and over and over, I would think that that would... It's not like Fortnite where the, like, every match is going to feel, like, dynamically different. Like, the boards are exactly the same, and I know the map is the same in Fortnite, but still, in that game, there's, I guess, more variables.
Yeah. Like, you're not in the same spot, and it's impossible to do the same game twice.
Exactly. So. That's how it at least appears to me. I mean, I haven't played it, so I'm not 100% sure, well, but...
Like, the only time I would argue for that is because, like, during my matches, like, I was very surprised I managed to survive and get some dubs. I actually got one win last night. So, I guess it's the fact, like, again, the different variations at the last game, the hexagon, to the raccoon chase. Like, there's always those parts that, like, yeah, sometimes it just can change on a dime. I think that's the most appealing part for players. It's like, all it takes is just 1 second to change everything, so.
Also, did you guys see that someone made a different version of Fall Guys where it was Game Boy Advance graphics?
I did, that was cool.
Oh. Yeah. So, like, that's how deep some of the fan love, I guess you could say, for the game is. Like, someone already made a Game Boy Advance version, basically.
Right. Like, and of course, like, all the brands got so thirsty to collab with this thing. Like, just recently, actually, I just saw on Twitter, like, Fall Guys for the PC version, they got me having the Scout skin from Team Fortress 2 for their game, so everybody's trying to, like, make their own custom designs, be it, like, from Atlas, or even Pizza Hut, or even Chuck E. Cheese. It's, like, it's crazy. Yeah.
All right, Tyler, how about you?
Yeah, I haven't been playing much this week, unfortunately. It's been a busy week. One of my roommates moved out, and we moved a new roommate in, so that kind of took up a lot of the weekend. We were squeezing every ounce of time we could out of the final days, so... That didn't entail gaming for some reason. It probably should have. But for me, it's been Ring Fit. That's been, I think, the only game that I played this week. And even then, I kind of slacked this week. I only played it once or twice. So I don't really have a ton of new comments to add on it. It really does. I could see how it would be something that you should buy, Todd. I mean, I don't know what your routine at the gym is. I feel, like, out of gas. Like, there's a difference between that, like, that muscle pump and that cardio thing. And this is much more of a cardio workout, even though you will feel, if you're going arms heavy, you can kind of fine-tune the workout however you want. So you can kind of go, you know, strength if you'd rather do that. It does feel more... it feels like you get more out of a cardio workout there. But I don't know if I would say you'd get more out of Ring Fit than you would riding a bike necessarily. But it is very fun. And, I continue to enjoy it. And I hope to see it through to the end. I've heard the campaign is, like, crazy long, which, you know, that's great. That'll keep you coming back time after time. But yeah, it's a great game. It's very fun and worth the $80.
Oh, it's $80?
It's $80.
Yes, I
mean, okay, I'm not getting it. Nope.
Yeah, well, maybe it was a Black Friday deal. Who knows?
That's true. It's just the obviously the ring is... It's good material, right? I mean, I feel like it's very...
It is good material. Like, yeah. I, of course, I watched the liquid grips. Of course, you got to watch it here and there. But overall, like, it is to that question that Arlo put in his review. Can you really put a price tag on good health?
Yes.
Yeah, right. But then again, you know, think about it, right? It's a one-time purchase, whereas a gym membership is an annual or a monthly fee. So
yeah, but you also, by your own admission, you only get a certain workout with Ring Fit, whereas a workout at a gym you can tailor to your needs depending on what you want.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, like I said, if you're going for muscle mass, Ring Fit's not the game for that. If you're going for, like, tone and cardio, yes, I'd say Ring Fit might actually be a big option, especially if you can always run outside.
If I did get it, I would use it in conjunction. Like, I do cardio to start, and in my workouts, I do the treadmill to start my workout, and then I go into front and back exercises. Then I do arms mainly. My legs are strong enough, and then I end on the elliptical. So, like, that's those are, like, my two real calorie burners while everything else is just building mass.
Yeah.
And then with Ring Fit, I would do that at night because I work out in the morning. I would do that at night after I'm done eating to, like, further help burn calories and, like, tone my figure. So that's how I – because clearly I got a figure. It's just not the figure I want.
is just hiding underneath all that thing. Yeah.
As I like to tell people, I have a 12 pack of beer. No. So, but no, if you're enjoying Ring Fit Adventure, that's totally fine, and I'll keep my eye on it. We'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, if gyms were open, I don't know if I would have bought it outside of the curiosity, because I was very curious about it. Just seeing the sales numbers as high as they are, I kind of wanted to see what the hype was all about. And you'll definitely, if you get it, it's easy to see why people like it so much. It's very good.
All right, so as we noted earlier, we're going to do a slightly different show to you tonight. And instead of just going full tilt into the news, because there honestly wasn't much, we're going to do a trio of fun segments that we've done over our history. I almost said years. Have we been on for years? I feel like we've been on for years.
We're at 194. Yeah, like 2 years. Yeah, I think it's like 2 or 3 years.
More than we do it every week, so it's like 4 years. We're approaching 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 52 weeks in a year, okay? So that's 52 times three, right? Let's just say three. That's 106. No, sorry, that's 156. Sorry, 156, and now we're at 194. So yeah, we're getting close on 4 years. So yeah, we've been around. We clearly have no lives, but we're gonna start all of this with Game Makers. All right, so this one was actually suggested to us by our dear friend King Koopa Keith, our boss at the Outer Haven, and he suggested that what if we talked about sequels that we would like to see on Switch of games that either were popular or maybe not as popular as you might expect it to be, or however you want to phrase it. So I'm just going to leave it open. If you have a game that you don't think is going to get a sequel but you'd like to, go ahead and talk about it. So, who wants to start?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So, the greatest game of all times, we all know, is ARMS, of course.
No, hold on. But, you agreed a couple weeks ago that it was Xenoblade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Xenoblade. Okay, By the way, I saw a video on YouTube the other day of somebody fighting Artifice Ophion. It's like a super boss in 2 with just Morag at level 1. And, like, just listening to Morag, like, shout out commands, I really got that hankering to get back into it. Like, I think I gotta buy Torna. Anyway. The second greatest game of all time is ARMS, of course. We can all agree on this. And we can all agree that ARMS is probably not gonna get a sequel, right? Do you guys think it'll get a sequel?
A sequel during the Switch era?
Sequel ever. Let's go with ever.
A sequel ever, heck yeah. It sold a lot. It didn't Smash Brothers. It's got its own fan base. I mean, granted, it didn't do Splatoon numbers, but a million is a million. Right. You know, that matters. Okay, people have made sequels for less.
That's true. What do you think, Will?
Yeah, I feel that ARMS 2 will definitely be likely in the works because, again, one, the team is just very passionate, and of course, like, you know how passionate Mr. Yabuki is back when he's like backing up Min Min, and of course back in the initial tournament review back in E3. So, like, of course, naturally more characters, of course, expand the lore, like a la Splatoon universe. So, I don't know, like, they have a lot of potential. So, I can only imagine, like, if they gotta just, like, take up the same reins, like, with, I don't know, Street Fighter, Tekken, in the fighting game genre, quote. So, I see a lot of potential for ARMS 2.
Also, because of how it ended so abruptly with the updates, it was like, oh, yeah, here's update 5, we're done. That kind of signaled to me that they're already, like, kind of pulling a Splatoon where they just got done with the original and now they're already working on the sequel. So I don't know when we'll see it, but I'd be shocked if we didn't. But I have to disagree with Will on one thing. I don't agree that that's going to be the title. The title obviously has to be 2 ARMS.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, see, I think it was like a game that was made for Switch and made for the Joy-Cons, like we discussed 2 weeks ago. So if they weren't, if the sequel's not on Switch, I would have to, like, you'd have to see the software for whatever Nintendo, or the hardware for whatever Nintendo's next console is to see if ARMS kind of fits that mold. Because you remember the ad was like the kids picking up the Joy-Con and throwing their fist, and then it turns into the arm. So I think it certainly, at least ARMS 1, was very much born from the hardware. And I think a sequel would probably follow in that suit. But unfortunately, ARMS had some well-documented issues. And I think like the most common complaints that people had were there weren't enough game modes and there was not enough single-player offerings. And of course, I completely agree with that. I think it would be great if they had more of a single-player campaign. The fact that they didn't have like an arcade, like a Mortal Kombat styled arcade ladder ending, like even just small things like that would have been a really nice quality of life that I would like to see added to a potential sequel. But my issues with the game, I actually, the main reason I thought about this was because Nintendo was actually streaming. They ran an ARMS tournament like out of nowhere. Yeah. And they were streaming it on Twitter. And I tuned in and I was watching it and I just kept thinking, man, this game should have been better than it was. I would like to see, and I think part of the joy of ARMS is the simple mechanic. So I don't think that we need to see this Mortal Kombat, Tekken styled, you know, inputs and fancy stuff like that. But I would like to see them kind of fine tune the way players' health works and the speed of the game. I think ARMS had an issue where it was too difficult to land attacks. And yeah. I was watching these players at like the top level of ARMS playing the game. And they, you know, it didn't look that different than when I'm playing in the game. You know, there's a lot of missing, a lot of camping to wait until you get your special charged up, a lot of just a lot of swinging and missing. And maybe if one arm hit, that would knock like a tenth of your health out. So you really, in that 90 seconds, if you landed 10 hits, you would win. I would like to see a game that kind of makes it falls more in line with Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You know, that spirit of fast punches, a lot of damage, a lot of hits being dealt. So I think, and of course, the key is, of course, to ARMS retaining the charm of the extendable ARMS. But I do think if you amp that speed up, you would retain that charm while promoting more of an offensive game. And I would also like to see them add a little bit more maneuverability to the vertical and horizontal, really more so the vertical adjustments that you could make after throwing a punch. Because the game had this weird, like, kind of auto lock, if you remember. If a character jumped, your arm would like start up towards the air and then you could turn it down. But I would have liked to have more control over, like, if I wanted to really like anticipate somebody's going to jump to the left, to be able to get that arm and yank it way up there to anticipate that strike. And I think if you added more speed to the game, you would find that those hits would be landed more often. And again, I don't think we need Mortal Kombat combos, but I think it'd be nice if they opened the door to more than just, okay, right arm, left arm, stun with the electric arm and then hit hard with the fire arm. If you could throw a punch, right, your arm starts to retract, you could like click a button, freeze the arm in place and then go in for like another. So you could do left, left, right, instead of left all the way back, right all the way back, or left, right at the same time, and then all the way back. It'd be cool if you could do a little bit more variation with those slings. I think that if they had kind of maybe just stepped a little bit more into that complicated territory, along with the single player offerings and better mini games, I think the game would have been better than it was. And I did enjoy ARMS, but I think a sequel has the potential to bring it to the next level and actually fulfill that kind of competitive vibe that they were really going for upon launch.
Yeah, I really always saw ARMS as like the next version of Splatoon, because Splatoon was just so out there and crazy and totally a different thing than what you expected from a shooter. And then with Splatoon 2, they just made it better. You know, they refined some of their online stuff. They added Salmon Run, which was infinitely addictive. Mm-hmm. They did even more in depth with the single player, and then they had the Octopath expansion, obviously. Octo expansion. Too many Octo games around here. One per generation, that's the rule. But like the Octo expansion, that was really cool. And then they just refined things just that little bit more. And with ARMS, obviously, be a little more complicated because of the very nature of their you know, expendable appendages. But yeah, they clearly have enough to do something. It's just a question of how much are they going to do in the quality of life department. But give them enough time, and I'm sure they'll think of something. The difference between Splatoon 1 and Splatoon 2, the reason why a lot of people noted it was just the same, was because it was due to time constraints. They literally got done with 1 and immediately started making 2 for the Switch. They didn't have a lot of time to, like, overhaul. That's why a lot of things were literally transferable, which was fine. We just needed better versions of what we had, and that's more or less what we got. With ARMS, I say let them take their time. Take another year or so, because it's been already 3 years since it came out. And then see where you are and at the end, and it might be even more Game of Eternity for Tyler than the first one was.
I mean, it'd be hard to be better, but, you know, we can hold out hope.
I mean, yeah, the only thing, like, all this talk of Splatoon is, like, really just kind of really miss that tactical nuke on the Wii U gamepad. I really miss that tactical nuke missile. Too bad they couldn't put it in the thing. But again, we had something else with going to the multi Tentac missiles. But oh well. But yeah, going back on topic, it's a lot of things that I can really imagine that they can really improve upon on like 2 ARMS. We'll use your title, Todd. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're going to perhaps the extra characters or heck, like. Well, technically, they actually have items out of the, like, the HP and the bombs and all that, but I wonder if they're gonna, like, improve, like, if the ARMS character can actually use quote-unquote items, say the least, or, like, be something much more of a traditional fighter, like, of the, like, with other main game fighting games. So, there, again, I look forward to what Mr. Yubuki and his team makes in the upcoming future, if they are making anything. So, yeah, here's hoping.
All right, I'll go next, and I'm going to do one where I'm pretty sure we can guarantee a sequel, but we haven't heard anything because of a certain other game being developed right now, and that's Octopath Traveler 2. So when Octopath Traveler was announced, it was kind of interesting because it looked different than most RPGs. It was what they call 2.5 HD, which was so bogus, but whatever. It looked good. It was a great looking game. And I loved just about everything about it, with the exception that all the stories were separate, and you had to intentionally jump from story to story to story and hope that you remember, like, what happened before, which at times was easier than others. And then at other times, you had to level yourself up, you had to grind at times, to get to the right level so that you could beat certain characters, or certain bosses, and it was fine overall. I loved the game. I believe it gave it a 4.5 on the website, I think. One of those two. 4 or 4.5. But for the sequel, it needs to just integrate. It needs to keep all the characters and just give them a fully connected storyline. Because the first one, I actually liked what they did. Because, you know, we had 8 characters with 8 different personalities. And unlike a standard RPG where you, like, just go through the main game and you eventually get delve into their deep and often tragic backstories. It was fine that they did it this way because of the nature of the characters and their vastly different storylines. But now they've been together for a while, in essence. And so now it should be about, you know, kind of delving into a new storyline within the world that they are in. And whether it's a continuation of what happened in the first game or just a completely new story, I want them more together, because one of the funnest things for me was when there was like a party conversation. And like when Ulbrich and Primrose talked, or some of the other characters talking, and it was so hilarious at times, like when what was the hunter's name?
Hanif,
thank you. When Hanif and Primrose talked, they had a hilarious conversation about why they don't need men. And I was like, that was perfect. And yet another time, I remember Ulbrich, and I believe it was Ophelia, and Ulbrich was giving very sagely advice as if he was talking to a daughter. And I loved that. And then, of course, you had all the like Theon and all of them interacting. And I want that on a grander scale. I don't want that in just like, oh, there just happens to be a party conversation. Let's see what they say this time.
Right.
I mean, you could still have elements of the branching storyline, and maybe even tailor it to where if you have like a certain characters, it can branch off into certain storylines, or you can choose a path. You know, still make it that large branching storyline, but in a different way than what you had it before, because you can't do that twice. At least in my opinion, you can't do that twice, because if you do it with new characters, you're really going to be stretching to make 8 original stories again. And if you do it with the same characters, it's like, but we already know their stories, so what are you going to do the second time around? Mm-hmm. So like, I want that more like integrated story. Again, the first one was fun. I absolutely love it. I should probably go and play it again sometime. But for the sequel, I want all the characters back. I want them in one definitive party, maybe like slowly trickling in at over time, like a standard RPG. But once they're all together, it's like they're a big family. Because if you remember the art of the game, it's them all together, which technically doesn't happen in the game because of how their stories are. Because, you know, if like when Primrose was going up against, you know, the three ravens and her former love that was evil, you really don't think that Ulbrich would have killed that guy the moment he tried to harm Primrose. Like, come on! But, like, I want them together in that setting again where they're all together and they're trying to come, like, really work together to defeat whoever or whatever is the threat. I think that is the natural extension of the series, and so that's what I really want to see.
Yeah, like, I do want that same, like, overarching story myself as well, because, yeah, like, I really do love it. Like, they also try to, like, make it as, like, pop-up storybook playstyle out, like, something very similar to Thousand Year Door, in a sense, and just, like, when we see, like, these party members have, like, their own little side conversation a la, like, soliloquies and that sort, like, yeah, I want more of that. Like, the fact they're not talking to each other directly in the game and just as a side-off sort of thing, like, okay, but I kind of want that thing in the main game. Like, I don't know, how would these be characters were talking, like, in the world of, yeah, in the world of Octopath? Like, how would Hanet, Oberig, Darion, all these characters, like, just how they would interact on, like, the daily life basis. Like, that, while I understand, like, trying to, like, make, to retain, like, a classic feel with old games, like, the old first Dragon Quest, like, I want them to something to really, like, embrace the modern JRPGs. I mean, like, with, like, Dragon Quest XI or, like, recent Tales games. It's, they have a lot of things they can really improve upon, like, overarching story, because, like, we've really seen all these different individual background stories. So now I believe it's now time to, like, go for that overarching story that connects all these characters together. So, and while they kind of had, like, hinted that in, like, once you finish up all each character stories, but it wasn't as focused, I feel like. So for Square Enix to, like, if once they make the sequel to Octopath Traveler, I really do want them, like, to really embrace, like, that, continue on with that traditional sense while adapting a bit more of a modern take of, like, one, yeah, as I said, overarching story, have, like, characters directly interact with each other in main game and not as, like, soliloquy side notes. So, yeah, just all these different things. And, of course, the character class was just amazing. Just, they have a lot of potential, I feel like, they can make with Octopath, the sequel to Octopath Traveler.
I agree with you as well, but I'm kind of two minds on it, because I felt like Octopath 1 did need that additional connectivity. There was a post-game dungeon that you could do that, like, gave you, like, this larger enemy. Right. I never did it because I wasn't interested in it. Like, I felt like I had seen the game through, because the whole premise was that they were 8 separate stories. And that's where I slightly disagree. I think that the idea of telling 8 separate stories is really, really cool. I think what the problem primarily was, honestly, the fact that your characters all stayed level, like, they would all level up at the same time. So you could do, like, if you had Tressa on your team and you did her story first, right? So you started with her and then she was your captain. She would be at, like, level 50 while you'd be doing a level 32 mission for Primrose, who would be at, like, level 29. I think what would be better is if they, instead of having, like, you pick instead of placing spots on the overworld map, have like a menu that said, okay, I'm going to start on Ulbricht's story now. And like Ulbricht's story will cross over with Tressa, and Tressa will join your party. And then when you play Tressa's story, Ulbricht will join your party at that same point, and the paths will intertwine and split off and intertwine and split off, and you can have separate characters just in the isolated story. So Tressa could have like a childhood friend. This is completely just random, but she could have like a childhood friend who's only in her story, and maybe something happens to that friend at some point, and then Primrose fills that friend's place in your party. I think that that would be an interesting evolution, and that was kind of more how I envisioned the original game, is that the party members kind of come and go, but in each story, instead of like having Ulbricht level up to level 50 in his, and then be level 50 in Tressa's story early, he would be reset to level like 9 if he rejoined you early in the game. I think that that kind of gameplay solution would allow them to keep the 8 separate paths idea, which was really cool, while also making it feel like there's a party, because now our mission is shared and you're getting these cool stories from everybody's perspective.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of ways you could do it. I liked what they did with the first game, but they were teasing like this big overarching story, but then when you were done with everything, it's like, do I need to keep exploring? There was that one end game dungeon, I believe it was, but I never went to it, and I was just like, there should be a sequel to this, but it needs to be more intertwined, because again, all of their stories have now been told. Basically, we know their origins and what led them up to those points. So the next story, whatever it may be, really should be focusing on them all being together and not just 8 separate stories. So, but again, there's many ways you could do it.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, Will, how about you?
Okay, so if sequel that I want them to make, it would be Skies of Arcadia. I kid!
No, you don't.
Switch sequels, Will.
So, if anything else, I feel like they will be making a sequel to this game, but like, who knows regarding this company, but for me, I really do look forward to the day we actually get a sequel to Astral Chain. Like, yeah, Platinum Games really hit something regarding to, like, their first, like, I'm not sure if this is the first outing on, yeah, I think this is probably their first outing on the Nintendo Switch.
Outside of, like, Bayonetta port.
Right. So, like, first original IP stuff, and yeah, Astral Chain just really did very well with regard to just, again, they're kings of the combat game, of the action games. I mean, again, we have like the wonderful 1-1 port, the have the Bayonettas, and everything else. And yeah, just regarding to the story of Astral Chain, one, obviously, it's very anime. It's pretty much, the opening is legit an anime opening. The story itself, like, I feel like it's very short. I'll grant it that. It is definitely a short, and like, if you want to just speed through it, it's like, it's a very self-contained tale.
I don't think it was that short. It was like 25 hours.
Generally. I mean, if you want to rush it, sure. But
short is like 10 or less, Will.
All right. I mean, in a sense, in my opinion. But I digress. Because the one thing I just kind of don't really like, per se, is because one of the whole silent protagonist thing, I'm sure they had the dialogue choice that they kind of reveal a little bit of your personality, but the fact that the main what other gender that you choose doesn't speak, which kind of, like, okay, I don't mind some sadness, but I feel like you could, I don't know, a more like an emotional grunt or like actually speak to some sort. Because again, I like the two main characters of Alex Lay and Brianna Knickerbocker voicing Akira. So, but yeah, once we, I mean, at the end of Astral Chain, like, yeah, sure, we save our sibling, and our sibling has that amnesia story. It's like, what's next in the world of Astral Chain? I feel like there is something else they continue on with the universe of Astral Chain. Like, of course, like, there's just so many universes that also can possibly connect to. Like, I'm not sure if anyone is aware of the other IP of Vanquish, because again, that same sci-fi realm, I feel like it could possibly connect. But yeah, the story of Astral Chain, I feel like, in any sense of anime or any comic media form, I feel like there is, like, definitely that sense of a second season they can definitely explain to. and of course, like, expand with the different legions. Like, while they can have all that, that five major legions of the beast, the sword, the archer, like, those are great. But, like, yeah, just give me more. I just want, like, I don't know, more legion, more customization. The fact that you have, like, the wolf legion that's very puppy-like, you can actually pet your puppy, which, yeah, that's game of the year, of course. But, yeah, I feel like Planet Games can really, like, just basically expand more, like, show what else the world of Aftertale can offer. Like, they really had a lot, they had some good ideas regarding the investigation. I kind of want more. And, of course, like, just the combat is just, like, it's top-notch, I feel. So, there's just a lot of ideas. I'm just swimming right at the possibilities of what Platinum Games can do with the Astral Chain series. And of course, with like Nier Automata, all these different games under their belt, I feel like they definitely can influence something greater in down the line if they wish to pursue.
Yeah, Astral Chain was definitely a really playing that. I really enjoyed playing that last year, which is scary to say because it's like, really last year? In fact, I'm pretty sure it didn't come out like August 31st?
It did.
Last year?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're almost a year anniversary of this game. That is crazy. But yeah, it was a really fun game. Very intense action. I love the storyline and the characters and everything. It definitely feels like there is more to this world to be done. And it would be interesting to see how they evolve things from here because there is so much farther you can go. But with Platinum, you just never know. And of course, they're still making this game. You might have heard of it. It's called Bayonetta 3. So that kind of takes priority. But once that's done, I would be all for Astral Chain 2.
Yeah, I wish I could add like insight to this. I didn't play Astral Chain, and I want to. It's on my list of games to buy. I walk to the grocery store is right across the street from me, as is a GameStop. And I'm not kidding. Every time I walk past the GameStop, I'm like, I think I might dip in there and pick up Astral Chain today. But I never do it. It's going to happen at some point. But yeah, I mean, that game did incredibly well. So I think there's a good chance that it will get a sequel.
Yeah, it did 1 million, which was well above their expectations. And again, 1 million is 1 million. So never know. Also, I think a game that I know we all play that should definitely get a sequel is Mario and Rabbit's Kingdom Battle.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and they have a very simple way to do it. Just more Rabbits, more Mario characters. They did the DK DLC. Maybe just integrate DK right off and, you know, have a Rabbit DK instead of a Rabbit Cranky.
And Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong. Of course. So... There's a lot of ways this could go, and it would be...
Sorry. I have one more suggestion about that.
Go ahead.
Maybe instead of Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, maybe it's Donkey Kong and Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
The whole DK crew. I mean, they already did that in part with the... What did they call it? Was this
I think
expansion?
Frozen Banana. The Frozen Banana. Something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember what...
I don't remember what it was called, but he had a whole expansion to himself. So
sweet. I'm glad they added Donkey Kong in, but let's just go all the way. You know, let's bring back Chunky Kong. Let's bring back Lanky Kong. Let's bring back Dixie Kong and Tiny Kong, and have them like use their. They already have the guns. They already have them. You know, the grape shooter for Lanky, and Diddy can use the peanut pop guns. It's perfect.
So like I said, there's many ways they can go with it. So it'll be very interesting. If they do, and again, it's the best-selling third-party game on Switch, so clearly they did something right. Clearly. Alright, so, into our next topic. We are going to talk Nintendo consoles, and specifically the ones we love, the ones we have the best memories with, so it's time to enter the Temple of Time. Alright, so we'll go. I think we've talked our favorite consoles before, but go ahead and pick the one that you think you have the most fond memories with, the ones that you just love to think about from your past. And again, it doesn't have to be your favorite console, but the one that you have your favorite memories with. So, Will, let's start with you.
So my favorite memories of a certain console. The first thing that really popped my mind is honestly the GameCube. It's just. I believe that was definitely one of the first consoles I actually bought as long as before like the Wii. Yeah, this was like before Wii. The game could actually pop up with my mom during the times of like Funko Land and all that. It's yeah, I still remember actually getting like not to go down memory lane too far, but like I still remember actually when we first got Super Smash Bros. Melee during the time, and then of course like what got also along Pikmin. Like those games were just so unique. Like I never heard of Pikmin, but just like okay, and the time management, of course, just managing like RTS though, like that was such a unique thing, especially coming from a Nintendo title. I mean, sure you had like the Fire Emblem, but this was like the first thing that really, like my really first exposure to like an RTS series. So the GameCube just seems really, just really stood out to me in a sense. Like, of course, there's definitely, of course, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, which everybody here agrees it was definitely a great thing of its time. And of course, like Luigi's Mansion, I think Wave Race was on GameCube during the time when it first released. I think that was the case. But yeah, just like the extensive library, Star Fox Assault. I don't know. Like, I love Star Fox Assault playing on the Nintendo GameCube. And of course, naturally, as I preach it many times over Skies of Arcadia, but I'll just stop it right there. It's like, yeah, like GameCube, I understand, like, while it didn't really do as well as, like, Nintendo hoped before, of course, with their jump into the CD realm. But for me, I just really love how, again, one, the local co-op there with the four major ports, just the small CD, and of course, like, naturally, just the extensive library. Because, again, I argue that GameCube definitely had one very library from, like, yes, like Star Wars, from Pikmin to Mario, Zelda. Even Zelda before.
Great console for Zelda, for sure. Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, and they re-released Ocarina of Time on it as well.
And Four Swords. Mm-hmm.
And Four Swords, right. Good one.
Right. So it's just, like, it just had such a great extensive library that it really sticks to my mind to, like, just how great it was. Of course, like, the memory cards, like, even I still remember buying, like, a Game Shark extensive memory card of, like, 251 gigabytes, I believe, something of that sort. It just feels like...
What would you say your number one GameCube game is?
Oh, man. My number one favorite GameCube
game. Let's go for a party GameCube game. You'll say Skies of Arcadia otherwise.
Oh, man. The first party GameCube game from Nintendo that I really do like. The one thing that really stood out in my mind, even though I didn't necessarily 100% complete it, would be Wind Waker. Because, yeah, I still remember actually just buying it from my local store in 8th Avenue. And, like, okay, a Zelda game, but it's cartoony. I didn't, like, follow E3 during that too closely. So I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I didn't hear about, like, the hate, all that. Oh, I just saw, like, the commercials, Saving Your Sister, and that's it, that live-action commercial. So when I bought it, it's just like, wow, this Zelda cartoon style like game I really do like is like has that exploration, also that I got PTSD. I'm so scared of that redead. Oh my god, just gnawing at you. That game really stood out to me. The first Wind Waker, just like the sailing, of course, the all the different side quests, Ritos, the Deku Tree. It just really stood out to me as one of the great games. I really do love Wind Waker.
I don't remember myself being like a partisan like gamer at that point, except for maybe that's not true, because now that I think about it, when Game Informer, I believe, gave Wind Waker a 10, I hadn't played the game yet, and I just remember being so excited because it was like, I know Halo, I believe, was released, made it release that same year, roughly. And it was like, you know, it was kind of like the argument for what is the future of gaming. And just to see that it was like Nintendo still had that fastball with Wind Waker. I agree. It's got to be in my top three Zelda games. My DK DJ, friend of the show, actually put it in his top five games of all time.
Yeah, there's just something that's special when I first played Wind Waker. Of course, like that also sense of dark theme when you also first meet with Ganondorf. It's just like, okay, they definitely still had it. Definitely, like, before jumping into that whole realism dark time with Twilight Princess, it's just like, there is that Zelda taste and flair that, oh, like, that's very reminiscent to Ocarina of Time. So, yeah, that's, and actually the first Zelda games I actually managed to complete. So aside from like doing 100% side quests, but yeah, it's just that that title really did stand out to me. So yeah, that will definitely be my first party favorite for that generation. And yeah, but in regards to third party, there are definitely other games that I can't imagine. I mean, I also enjoy like some third party games like Sonic Riders, which
Sonic Riders was fire. I hate the haters will try to deny it, but Sonic Riders was unbelievable.
I liked it.
I definitely tried it. Like, okay, let's see what it got. It has that sense of cheesiness, but okay, it's Sonic Riders, and of course, I like that old intro anime opening, which top good, great animation. But yeah, like as I've appreciated many times over, Skies of Arcadia for as a third party support is just like Sega really. I'm just really surprised like Sega really managed to go bring this port to the GameCube ever since like the original Dreamcast release, and there's just nothing like it. The sense of exploration, Sky Pirates, and all that different factions, and it was just like seeing these different civilizations, like that's kind of the RPG I love. I mean, sure you can. A lot of people can argue like Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, and probably what I would also manage to say it would actually tie with Final Fantasy IX, but Skies of Arcadia just had something that really scratched that major epic RPG that's like, one, it's all about Age of Exploration, different civilizations, as well like these giant titans, these, yeah, biggest. And of course, the fact you command your own ship, which a lot of people like compared to like Sudoken, like managing your own base, managing your own pirate crew, it's just so. It's the Age of Pirates and the Sky Pirates. Just like there is no other game like it, which a lot of I still revere as like one of the great titles, which should be brought back. But who knows with Sega and the original creators? So yeah, Skies of Arcadia, I will forever love as my third party for the GameCube. I will forever exclaim my love.
Yeah, the GameCube is always gonna be special for me. It was the first console I ever bought. It was the first console I started really buying my own games for, and it had so many great games. As you said, Will, it's a really great console. It's very underappreciated because of what was going on with Sony and Xbox, and it was hardly the bad console that some people said, because it absolutely was, had some of the best games that we're still talking about to this day. So clearly it is something right.
It has aged incredibly gracefully. I think a lot of people look back at the GameCube as one of the more underrated consoles with an incredibly robust library. The GameCube was probably the end of Nintendo getting that like stellar third-party support. And so it, just for that alone, you know, there weren't too many games that you couldn't get on GameCube that you could get on PS2 that weren't exclusives. At least to my knowledge.
Right, and like, I still remember, like, it did very well regarding to, like, Resident Evil 4 from Capcom, of course, like, Beautiful Joe, that they also released on the GameCube, and of course, naturally, Double Dash, which revered as the best one of all, so it's just such an extensive library in the GameCube, which is just amazing.
I have to amend that. I meant to say, like, first-party exclusive, obviously, because if it was just exclusives, of course, you would get the third-party games on other consoles.
All right, so as for me, I was going to do GameCube, but just to change things up, I'm going to go with the N64. Because the N64 was a special one for me, because as I've noticed on this podcast before, it was the first console that was actually bought for me. I got the SNES because my babysitter Mona had it for her kids, and then they gave it up, so we got that with all the games that we'd already played, you know, Aladdin and Link to the Past and all, and Mario Kart and All Stars and Super Mario World. But with the N64, my mom won it basically in a contest and knew it made me very happy, and I lost my mind. Now, I didn't lose it like that legendary kid who was screaming and pumping his fist, if you recall that. It was like, it's an N64! You know, that wasn't me, but I was close. I was just a step below that kid. But, it still was an awesome console. I mean, I had Pokemon Stadium, it had Ocarina of Time, it had Majora's Mask, it had Pod Racer, Quest 64. I loved that game. That was a great game. Of course, it had GoldenEye. It had, Star Fox 64, which actually originally ticked me off because I beat it in like a few hours. And then I was like, oh, there's like all these branching paths. And, you know, it took me a while to realize that and how to get to all those planets, but I did. And, of course, the original Paper Mario, which helped set a standard for all of 2 games. And just on and on and on.
The first one is the best one.
Second one. Don't make me shut the door on you, Tyler. And for 1,000 years. But it's just, the N64 was just so special. And then the Pokemon Puzzle League, I loved that game. It was like the beginning of all the insanity. And of course, Smash Brothers, I played that forever with my best friend Tyler. Kirby Crystal Shards. Ah, it's just so many good games. And technically, that was like one of the start of the decline of the Nintendo because it went cartridge, where Sony went discs, and we all know how that worked out, but it still rocked so dang hard. And of course, Donkey Kong 64 with the DK rap, and just on and on and on. The 64 was just lined with titles that were just so beautiful. Oh, Mario Party 1, 2, and 3, which were the best ones. I remember.
No argument there. No, pause, because you're like, is he going to say something? You are correct, sir.
No, I wasn't pausing for you. I was pausing for me. I was just like, what else do I have to say? But like, I remember we had this store nearby called Pizza King, where they, of course, served subs. And no, they had really good pizza. But they had like this gaming rack at the time, and it was just full of like N64 titles. So we would go there and like we would rent Mario Party, because we hadn't had that one yet. I rented like a wrestling video game once, because I just wanted to see how it was. It was horrible. But, you know, and like if I didn't see a game that I had played before, I was like, oh, I wonder what that one's all about. And it was just a whole summer's dedicated to, oh, Pokemon Snap, obviously, that was on there. And we still don't know where that sequel is on the Switch. When is it coming, Nintendo? Don't you dare deliver us the release date on Twitter. I will find you. But we waited 20 plus years. But the N64 is just so. It was. I really feel like it was the one of the last consoles where I had like my friends over playing it, whether I was with them or they were with me. Because with the GameCube, it was much more inclusive outside of me playing Smash Brothers with my cousins. The Wii was better because it was the Wii. I mean, you're supposed to play it with others. The Wii U, not so much, and the Switch, I honestly, by this point in time, I don't have many friends near me who I have anything to play with, but the N64 is just like a lot of memories of just inclusiveness and playing with my friends, and, you know, 4-player Mario Party Wars, and Smash Brothers, and Pokemon Stadium, picking our perfect teams. So much good stuff.
Yeah, you hit on something there that I was going to kind of say, like, lead my answer with, because the console that you have the most memories of, and you I thought you were going to say N64. I didn't expect you to. You said GameCube would have been your original. I thought you would say N64 just because that's those sweet spot childhood years, you know? Like, how old were you when the N64 launched?
Gosh, that was 90. What, 98?
96 it came out.
Okay, 96, yeah. So I've been like 7, 8 years old.
Yeah, right. So that's like that perfect, like, you have memories of, like, everybody has memories of when they were 7 or 8, and like you're in like elementary school, so everybody's into gaming. It's not, at this point, it's the cool thing to do, you know, is to have the N64. And for me, that was the GameCube. Just I think GameCube launched in 2000, maybe 2001, so I was 6 or 7. And I have tons of memories just playing Melee with a lot of the people actually who come on NEP. And that's definitely that first console that I remember, and probably the one that I have the fondest memories of. My favorite console of all time is the Super Nintendo. To me, that is the peak of like the technology, the technological leap from the NES, the competition from Sega, the creativity that this, like, the game industry is now about a decade old. The creativity is slowing. People understand how to make great games, and I think that that created this boom of just phenomenal titles that are just the peak of their series is on the Super Nintendo. But I'm going to go with the Wii, because the Wii opened up so many doors for me in college, and that was really through Super Smash Bros. Primarily. I wouldn't say I was like shy in high school. I didn't really find my crowd like that. Like, I had a group of close friends and they were my friends, and that was it. I just had really no interest in socializing like that. But come college, I went to school far away from home. I went like 500 miles away from New Jersey, North Carolina. And gaming was kind of that one thing that I knew that I really liked. Like, there was a lot of things that I did growing up, but I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't as passionate about come the time that I graduated high school, but gaming was the one thing that I was still super into. And I remember, like, the first month or so of school was a little isolating. I didn't know a ton of people. My roommate was a total jerk, and it just was kind of uncomfortable. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to set up my Wii in this on the lounge, and I'm just going to put Brawl in, and I'm just going to play Brawl, and I'm going to see if people like want to join. And before you knew it, like, I hadn't been playing for 10 minutes before I had four people lined up playing Super Smash Brawl with me. And before I knew it, we were friends, and it became a weekly thing. Every Thursday we would go and play Smash Bros. In the commons. Then it became, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday. Then it just became every day we're playing Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And some of those friends that I made, you know, they're still with me today. Taken to the next level my sophomore year, where all that practicing of Brawl, I had gotten pretty good at that point. And there was a tournament that year, and a lot of my friends had moved off of campus, and I decided to stay on campus. So it was a similar situation. I did have a more firm ground at this point. But I met a whole bunch of people who evidently were in the same spot that I was the year before, playing just in a different dorm. So they were all like, they didn't know me and I didn't know them. And it was kind of this like exciting, like, who's going to win, you know, just kind of the meeting of like the upperclassmen. And we were sophomores, weren't upperclassmen, but in the dorms we were. And we had this super fun tournament that I ended up emerging victorious in. And just from that, like, I wonder what would have happened had I lost that, because everybody wanted to rematch me. And before we knew it, it was like 4 a.m. We've been playing Brawl for 8 hours. And those guys just became my best friends for like the entire year. And just that wouldn't have happened without the Wii. I wonder, you know, what my college experience would have been like, you know, had I decided not to set the Wii up in the Jones Hall Commons, because I don't think I would have met the people that have become so special to me today.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting flashback memories back to my college as well. Like, I still remember at my Brooklyn College Student Center, we, like, every single time during lunch period, my anime club and a couple of the guys just play Smash Brothers on the Wii that was available on the Student Center, just playing and playing. It's just like, yeah, there is just so much memories you can get from that Wii system, especially since Brawl came out during that time period. Like, yeah, sure, you can play with the Xbox 360 on Halo or play on PS3 with a Soul Calibur 4. But yeah, everybody in the Student Center just basically wanted to play Smash Bros. Brawl. I wholeheartedly agree. Yes.
That's funny that you said Soul Calibur 4, because we actually would play that too every now and again. That was once the Smash Bros. People were feeling a break, Soul Calibur 4 was the game.
I remember Soul Calibur 2, because I had it on the PS2, which I should have gotten on GameCube, because that's where you get Link, but oh well. I didn't understand that at the time. Heihachi was fun, though.
It was Heihachi, yeah.
Heihachi and then Spawn was on Xbox.
Right.
But yeah, the Wii was fun. I remember a lot of memories of the Wii, and especially playing Brawl with my friends, and I actually had a winning streak, like, really good winning streak. And then my friends, I told about this about my friends at college. I mean I had like 20 wins, no losses. I was really killing it as Ike. And so this college guy Jonathan, he was like, I'll beat you in Smash Brothers. I'm like, yeah, okay. And so I'm like, I'll probably do well. And then he plays Marth and I play Ike, and of course I lose, but it was still worth it. And then we had this massive tournament like right after class, and it was a lot of fun. But even though I lost, and I lost certain Nintendo privileges, but in regards to 3D modeling, but whatever. But it's like, that was just this really great experience, because like, hey, I'm playing Smash Brothers at school, and no one cares. It's like, when does that happen? So, those are good times.
Yeah, it's cool to see kind of how the consoles grow with you. Like, the Super Nintendo, it's like a legend in sports. It's like Jerry Rice. Like, I never saw Jerry Rice play football, so I just imagine he was just like, he caught everything that came his way. He never dropped a pass. And like, even though I can experience those Super Nintendo games, to me there's a mystique about the Super Nintendo, you know?
Yeah.
But the GameCube and the Wii and even the Wii U, to a lesser extent, all kind of like, those were consoles that I'm like, yeah, that one is the one that I kind of lived. You know, there's a personal attachment to it that I don't have, especially for the NES, which is an unbelievable console. But when I think of Nintendo systems, I'm like, that's the one that I'm least interested in, even though it's probably it's definitely the most historic.
All right. So now we are heading to our third conversation, which I think arguably is going to be our most fun, because for like years now, we have talked about the characters that we would like to see in Smash Brothers, both as a main character, as a DLC character, and who we think won't get in terms of Nintendo and third-party potentials. But now we're going to go on the other end of the spectrum. We're going to talk about characters that should be in there in a certain way, but have absolutely no chance. And what we mean by that is, like, third parties that have never been on, third party characters that have never been on a Nintendo system, or Xbox and Sony exclusives. All right, so the characters that you hear people talking about, but you know are never going to get in there. We're going to make a debate for why some of them should. And I said we were going to do this Secret Society style, but honestly, it's time to settle it in Smash. Alright, and I will start this one because I have the perfect character that would totally work in a Smash Brothers setting, will never come to the system, but I can dream. And that character is Sly Cooper. Alright, Sly Cooper franchise is one of my absolute favorites, even though I've never played the fourth game because it was on PS3. And what I love about the series is that, you know, you're playing an honorable thief, really good at his job, he's got a really great team, he's got the great relationship with Carmelita, which I loved. And he's just a very versatile thief. And that's kind of what you would like to see in something like Smash Brothers, because it would be a different kind of moveset. A, he's got a cane, which is not something you would expect in a fighting game like this. And he's got all of his tech gear. He's got his thief skills from the Thievius Arcanus, because he's from a long line of thieves. And that would just create a very fun moveset. Like, for example, his cane has, you know, basic attacks where you hit the bad guys in an overhead slam that usually does a KO. But he also can charge up the cane and do a spin attack. So that would be like his hold down B move. You know, it'd be like a spin on the Link spin attack, but a little bit different. And then his grab would just be the cane hooking you in. Perfect. His thief skills would come in handy in terms of, like, jumps or B-ups where he can, like, use his paraglider to get some elevation, kind of like what Link does at times. I promise this isn't all going to be like Link, but he could turn invisible. He could actually slow down time in a couple of his games. He's got distraction techniques like an alarm clock and smoke grenades. And he's got four games just full of techniques and gear that would be absolutely perfect for a Smash Brothers setting. And thus, though I know he will never come because he's never been on a Nintendo platform before, I want Sly Cooper in Smash Brothers.
I see that's, you know, that's an interesting pick, but I can't believe that if you're going to go with a PlayStation mascot, you're not going to go with my pick, Ratchet and Clank. Like, okay, there's no way Ratchet and Clank would make it, but and I see a moveset for Sly for sure. But let's be honest here. Ratchet and Clank are like custom built for Smash Bros. You can use the helipack for recovery. You can use the insane arsenal of weapons. The final smash is the Rhino, of course. The wrench for up close melee weapons. And it's funny to argue about this because we're arguing for characters that are we just don't think have any chance of getting in. But at the same time, if you're going to include a Sony mascot, right, it's Ratchet and Clank. They've been the longest standing one. Sly Cooper's gone by the wayside, unfortunately. Jak and Daxter is the other choice. They've gone by the wayside as well. But Ratchet and Clank have stood the test of time. Their games have, some would say, only gotten better with time. Up Your Arsenal is the best.
Yes,
sure.
But what about the quest for booty? And I was like,
it was still good. It was like a mini game, though. It was like,
exactly. It was like a mini game.
Yeah, and they get into the
Nexus. And we're getting one for PS5, and what's their big hook? There's a female Ratchet. Like, that's
yeah, but
your hook?
Like,
female
sweet.
Lombax or female Lombax.
But it's Ratchet and Clank is still so relevant that it's going to be a launch title for the PS5, or maybe a launch title. It's coming early for the PS5. It was one of the first games they revealed for the PS5. Yeah, I can... Clank's got the thruster pack as well. I just think that they are a perfect fit for Smash Brothers, and they fit the aesthetic. Not that Sly doesn't. I think that Sakurai could have a lot of fun with both of those characters, honestly. I'm just going with Ratchet, personally.
Ratchet Clank is a classic. If we're talking about, like, really all-time classic, like, early Sony characters, you got, of course, Crash, you got Spyro, and then you've got the PS2 trilogy of Sly, Ratchet, and
Jack and Daxter.
Yeah.
So, like, any one of those five, honestly, could work in
Crash and Spyro have a chance.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, like, in that case, you know, Crash and Spyro do have a chance. But in terms of, like, the PS2 trinity, yeah, all three of them could work. It's just, you know, I just like Sly. I mean, it's all personal preference, really, you know. Like, some people don't like Min-Min. I mean, let's be honest here. They were all thinking it was going to be Springman or Ribbon Girl, but Yabuki said, no, it's going to be Min-Min. So
I was kind of forcing the argument because it's a settlement in Smash. I definitely think Sly would be cool as well.
If we're going to go have to argue with that, I don't know. I personally feel like we, like, have a bit more of an attitude era kind of character. Like, sure, we had Sonic along with Mario, but I feel like Jak and Daxter would actually kind of fit in. Sure, it's, like, not as known as, like, Spyro or, like, the Ratchet and Clank, but just that sense of, like, again, like, Jak and Daxter had that, like, that first game that was, like, very childhood friendly, and then, like, we hit that attitude era in Jak and Daxter 2, which, like, that whole crass humor, like, from Daxter. I don't know. I feel like we could definitely use another attitude era character. I feel like
attitude era. What is this, wrestling? Oh gosh! And look, and now here comes The Rock. The Rock is in Smash Brothers.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Oh gosh, if we could get The Rock and, like, have it actually be voiced by Dwayne, that would be awesome. Now you listen here, Mario. Do you know what I think about your game? It doesn't matter what I think about your game.
Yeah, I think that would push the T rating there.
The reveal trailer would be like similar to the Terry one, but it's like every fighting game, and then just the envelope lands in the center of the WWE arena, and The Rock picks it up.
It's like, I am coming to Smash Brothers if you smell! Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh. Look, you see what we've done? We went from Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank and Sly Cooper to The Rock. All right? I mean, fine.
His final smash is making you watch any one of his horrific movies.
Okay,
which
no,
is all
not,
of them. Not all of them,
but if we're going to pick, like, absolute horrific, that's Doom. All right.
I think Rampage got a decent review, actually.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But, and Negan, poor guy. But hey, if we're going to go full tilt on this, the character that they will never put in Smash Brothers, but that they need to put in Smash Brothers, especially because of her most recent appearance in video games, is Ellie from The Last of Us Part 2. And notice, I said Last of Us Part 2, not the original, because, of course, the second one is where she's a bloodthirsty animal, basically. And imagine that in Smash Brothers. You know, she has guns, bang, she uses arrows, swink, flip is good. Flip, you know, she's got bombs and hammers and crowbars, and she can use her own hands, and she's, like, strangling Zelda or Link, either one, they're interchangeable. But, you know, and then the final smash is her going, like, full bloody murder on them. And, like, the camera getting splurted in blood. Oh, good times.
Yeah, I don't think they would add her.
No, yeah, not a chance. Yeah. All these different choices, which are unlikely, because I'm immediately reminded to that poor Trash Fire game imitation, which is PlayStation All-Stars.
Yes!
Because that game, like, those are pretty much characters you would never expect to see in Smash Bros. Like, I mean, heck, I'll be surprised if Nathan Drake would be in that game, in Smash Bros., which highly unlikely, because it's just so weird character.
Yes, it's
I mean, heck, I mean, heck, I would even be, like, very unlikely, but I kind of low-key want to have Parappa the Rapper just because like, he's so neat. But again, I gotta believe. It's just like it kind of works. So again, of course, like all these different other IPs. It's, what the heck were they thinking? Infamous from Sucker Punch? I mean, okay, fine.
That one kind of worked.
And then, of course,
they couldn't have Snake because we already had him, so they picked Raiden, who obviously will never be in Smash Brothers because he hasn't had a game on the system. But and Fat Princess? Really?
Yeah, Fat Princess. What?
And then Sackboy from Little Big Planet. My gosh.
Yeah, like, and then, of course, the cats from Shiro and, Kuro. Yeah, Shiro and Kuro, which, that's a very niche Japanese IP, which not many people understand, aside from, Tekken, which, they had Heihachi.
Yeah. Now, did they have some elements that were kind of cool? Yeah, like, I like the idea of the fusion battlefields. Like, that had potential, but then it was just like, oh, they're not all on the same level. There's, lightweight, there's featherweight, there's heavyweight. I'm like, well, we kind of have that in Smash Brothers, but you don't really feel it at times. I mean, even when you're, playing, DDD or Bowser, you still know you can win. And yet, I remember the review saying, if you play a Sackboy, good luck. It's like, that's not a good thing. So.
Yeah, it's like all these, and of course, I from Dead Space, it's just like these different characters from third parties and all that. Like, it had a very, I feel random assortment of characters from first party to third party, but it just didn't have that same oomph that it had with Nintendo IPs.
That's the word. That game didn't have oomph. I did play that a decent bit because one of those guys I was talking about meeting my sophomore year was huge Sony guy. Loved Sony. So he would always try to say, let's play PlayStation All-Stars and give that one a shot. So every now and again we would. And it just, the moves didn't have that punch that you get in Smash Bros. The idea of needing to use a special to secure kills just kind of made the games feel a little gimmicky. It didn't have that polish and that oomph that Smash does.
Yeah.
Right. And it's later revealed in development, they just they just kind of burned it. Just copy and paste it into that product.
What we can say about All-Stars is the thing we can almost always say about Sony, that's their fusion dance form, Nintoni. Sony, when they try and copy Nintendo, they fail. Every time you try and copy Nintendo, you fail. Remember the move? No, you don't, because it wasn't as good as the Wiimote. I don't care what the Kevin Butler commercial said, all right? You wanted to try and copy Smash Brothers? All-Stars was a horrible failure. And you should be ashamed of yourself. All right? Yeah. So just keep making your Uber, graphics machines. We'll be over here making first-party games that actually sell well on a grand scale. Moving on. which reminds me, I forgot to mention this earlier. Animal Crossing. So we noted last week that they sold 22 million copies, Well, apparently... New Horizons is the best-selling game in Japan ever.
Yep.
The caveat is that this is for single units. What I mean by that is the top game in Japan currently is the original Pokemon trilogy of Red, Blue, and Green. So combined sales, they're number one. But in terms of singular units, just one title to sell, it's Animal Crossing. Who would have thunk?
Again, COVID worked so well during that period, and now, bam, it's the top game ever.
Yeah.
Woo, ever.
Ever.
Lifetime. History.
Ever. Period. History of Japan. All right? Ever. That's insane. And it's what else? I mean, So, continuing back on to what the train of topic was, look at that success, and that's why we have Animal Crossing characters in Smash Brothers. But I wouldn't want Little Big Planet in Smash Brothers. Sackboy or girl, what would they do? Think about what they had to work with Animal Crossing, with both Isabelle and Villager, and they did it. with the axe and the collecting the items in the pocket to relaunch them. The balloons, the dang fishing rod.
That was a nightmare. That's a nightmare. I mean, like, it's very funny just the fact, like, when Isabel first came, it's like, what, I'm gonna be in Smash? And, like, everybody's favorite secretary is coming to Smash. And, like, yeah, it became everyone's nightmare as well. Like, ah! I was like, oh, no. Just we have to worry about Village, and now we gotta worry about Isabel, the female dog. Oh, no.
Yeah, and now a character that I'm gonna say they could possibly Smash Brothers eventually is like Sigma, because the obvious answer is Zero, because we've not okay. Mega Man at Zero, and Zero has obviously had plenty of games, but Sigma would be interesting because that would help fill out the villain quota, which we always need more of in Smash Brothers. And you know, he's got plenty of attacks from his various forms. Then his final Smash can be, you know, his ultimate Sigma form, where he's in like 20 stories tall, and he has like the flying detachable fist that can just strafe the battlefield. You know, that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. I would like to see Eggman in Smash.
Oh, Eggman has a chance, though. Eggman totally has a chance, though.
No, he does. He does. That's, yeah, that's the problem. He wouldn't fit unless he does have a chance.
Eggman over Sigma any day of the week.
Yeah.
Now, Will, I'm a little disappointed in you. Because I gave you the opportunity to go to any character that you know is never going to be in there, and the character that we know is never going to be in there has not come across your lips. Talking, of course, of the main character of Sengen Kagura, everybody. No,
I was actually about to say.
No, I'm talking. I'm
because
talking.
We had plenty of heroines. Like, yeah, we definitely need to fill out the heroine quota of this game. Yes, we definitely need to do that. But
Wait, whoa. I don't want drugs in Smash Brothers. What's wrong with you, man? Dude.
It's called heroin, but you know what I mean.
No, I really don't. I didn't know you were. I mean, I knew you were kind of messed up in the head, but drugs, man? No, don't do drugs. Don't do drugs, kids. Come on. Don't be like Will. Don't be like
jeez Louise.
Anyway, well,
you
I was trying to
mean,
say
but,
before
yeah.
Will on his drug talk. That was very scary. Goku. Because everybody wants Goku in Smash Brothers, but Sakurai said that we'll never get him or characters like Iron Man because they're not gaming characters first.
Right, like that is the ongoing meme. It's just such the ongoing meme of like, bring me Goku! Like, dude, it's never gonna happen. Like, sure, it would be amazing, but it's just like, that is a pipe dream within a pipe dream in Smash Brothers. Sure, we want Geno in Smash, we gotta cast it. We want Goku in Smash. Like, that is pretty much every fanboy otaku's dream. And like, no way, Sakurai denied it. I mean, sure, it was in anime licensed games, but in the end, it is a manga anime character, which, yeah, that's not gonna happen. Like, sure, we had Hero. That's the most you're gonna get as Goku. We got Hero from Dragon Quest. That's it. That's the only thing you get from Akira Toriyama, to say. So, have to people just want Goku, Waluigi, all these different characters, like, is pipe dreams. I mean, Waluigi, if Sakurai's feeling trolly enough, maybe Waluigi, but who knows? But
swear to God, we better not get Waluigi. I do not want him in the game. We do not need him in the game. I don't care that he has a cult following. It's lame, all right? He is an assist trophy. Deal with it. We deserve better than Waluigi.
There has never been, and I will tap the microphone. There has never been a worse character than Waluigi, ever. He is the worst character ever.
Pichu, come on. Pichu
has KO potential.
No. I mean, character in the history of video games. Like, you could take every video game character ever made and line them all up 1 through 19 million. Waluigi would be the 19 millionth best video game character. He is the worst and just an unholy creation that should have never existed and we can all agree was a mistake.
Again, it's just the fact that like the Nintendo team had to make an antithesis to the Mario Brothers, which, again, it is kind of an interesting origin story if you want to read up on it, but yeah.
Wario was sweet, but Waluigi was just like Wario's doubles tennis partner. Come
right,
on.
Right. He first came out, yeah, I remember. But, yeah, just, like, going back to, like, all of these characters, like, yeah, Goku, yeah, as much as everyone wants to demand it, yeah, Sakurai always says, like, no, that's never gonna happen. Waluigi, who knows? Like, again, that's up to them. Again, since he is a Nintendo IP. I mean, and one, like, even though it is technically possible. I'm still also put it as labeling as not really generally has a no chance in it. Is even you did an April Fool's joke on it. Is Travis touching on No More Heroes just because one, he is an M-rated mature title game, which again, as you know,
what's
No More Heroes
and Bayonetta.
Because as last I checked, the, oh yeah, Snake.
Yeah, dude, Bayonetta. The Metal Gear and Bayonetta are both M, dude.
Oh, okay. I thought it was T, but okay.
Astral Chain was T. But, no, Bayonetta, dude, the girl takes her clothes off because it's hair.
Right.
And Metal Gear is violence and military stuff.
Military, torture, and all things.
Yeah,
on
that right, stuff.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So, M-rating things, though, okay, doesn't like, gotcha. But, yeah, Travis Touchdown, like, I personally would just love it if Travis Touchdown, just because he is, like, very that Deadpool-esque character of, like, breaking fourth wall, and, of course, they will have a beam katana. Can I use lightsaber because of license of copyright issues? It's just, like, I would just love it if Travis Chan could be like that Deadpool-esque character in Smash Bros. Like, well, this is the world of Smash Brothers. Oh man, is that Mario? Oh, is that Snake? Oh, seriously, Samus, how are you doing there? That's like, I would love to see like have the actor Robert Eckendowns just like give these combos in that trailer just because how just off the wall he is. But not gonna likely happen. And I really wish that Sakurai would consider Suda51's feedback. Or like, yeah, if you could actually put Travis Touchdown in Smash Bros., that would be so amazing. But I definitely commit that probably is not never going to likely happening, but since they chose it. But a guy can dream. And again, Travis Touchdown is like that Nintendo IP of the original Wii that I love and just has that.
He has a shot, though. Again, the rule that I've always said is it has to be either a Nintendo IP or a game/character who has appeared on a Nintendo console in the past, or a handheld, which is the only loophole for Joker because of the Q2 persona, which, not the same, but whatever. But Travis, I know that he was eventually ported to PlayStation, but his original games were on the Wii, and then 3 is coming exclusively to the Switch, so he's totally got a chance.
Here's hoping, like, if there's any consideration from the team who decides the characters, then yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I just really like Travis Touchdown.
We because, know.
Like, excuse me, aside from Seren Kagura and Skies of Arcadia. Excuse me.
Yeah. Anyway, but, like, Goku, I think that would be, like, the ultimate shock character, you know? Oh, why not? Let's bring Goku into the mix. Just because, like, people have already modded him into the game. I mean, why not
go for it?
I mean, Iron Man is fine. Iron Man, I understand why you don't want him. He's totally comics. But Dragon Ball especially has been just as much about the games and good games, like, you know, Budokai and Fighters and Xenoverse, you know, all of them. You know, those were great games. Whereas Marvel games, you know, they kind of vary depending on the title. Marvel Versus was always good. You know, the movie games we never talk about. And the upcoming Avengers title, that could be hit or miss, but we'll have to see. So, like, that one I understand, because that's a whole other set of licenses, because Marvel, you know, Marvel and Disney are going to try and, like, ride that thing to the end if Iron Man or Spider-Man ever made it into Smash Bros. But, you know, I think Goku would be a lot easier to get, because he's everywhere, and everyone loves Goku, except Vegeta. But, yeah. So, like I said, now again, these are the characters, except for Travis Touchdown and a few others, that we would believe could work in Smash Bros., but we know they have no shot. We are not delusional enough to think that Xbox... I mean, you mentioned, like, you know, Master Chief or Marcus Fenix or...
Master Chief has been mentioned so many times that
why?
I feel like he has a chance.
He does not.
He doesn't.
He has no shot.
He shouldn't.
Like, the entire argument is because, like, one, like, Smash Bros. Is pretty much, like, a lot of people, like, Maximilian calls it, basically the celebration of all things video games.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you're Nintendo, Sony, or even, like, heck, we have Banjo, which is technically Microsoft license now. So,
yeah,
the fact that it's a celebration
of
all games
license. But the problem with that is that Banjo was born on the N64, and then his sequel was N64. It was when they went to Xbox, they made Nuts and Bolts, and we all know what happened with that. So, Banjo was always ours, it's just Microsoft bought out Rare. You know, so that's on them, not on us. So we deserve to have Banjo in Smash Brothers.
The argument for Master Chief is obviously a gaming icon.
Yeah.
And Sakurai has said he's trying to pull as many franchises in as possible. I would say Master Chief, like, was Cloud. Cloud was pretty unthinkable when they announced him.
That was so amazing. If I, bro, yes.
Cloud was close. Cloud was close to ungettable for a time because we thought Square Enix wouldn't do it. But again, he was on Nintendo platforms because of Kingdom Hearts. So it kind of made sense.
I mean, I never bought into that. I feel like that's a stretch. Like, nobody thinks of Cloud from Kingdom Hearts.
I do. He was one of the biggest things.
He was on, like, what? A DS game, right? Like,
yeah, it was Chain of Memories. No, not Chain of Memories. Well, he was in Chain of Memories, and then he was in RE Coded, and in both of them, he was a summon character, not as well as being a part of the storyline. So he was in it. He wasn't just like a random cameo. He was someone who was in the game.
Is his alternate outfit where he's wearing the black outfit, is that from Kingdom Hearts?
Yes.
It looked like it was from Kingdom Hearts, and yeah. I never realized that until I watched my roommate play Kingdom Hearts. So, okay, yeah, interesting. So that is a reference. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Joker, I think, is also an odd one.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
I don't totally buy into it has to be on the Nintendo platform, even though you're right. You could finagle the rules so that everybody has been on.
Yeah, and technically Scramble is on Switch, so that's like the backup if you don't like the Persona Q2, whatever. But no, my thing with Master Chief is that I get it, gaming icon. But if we're going to pull that route, where's Doom Guy? Because Doom
Master Chief's
Nintendo.
More that's true.
Yeah, Doom 64 all the true. Way.
Yeah, let's make it full circle. Bring Doom Guy to make Isabelle shipping again. Let's bring it back again.
Like, give the people what they want.
I don't want Doom Guy or Master Chief.
They could make it work. It could make it work, but obviously they wouldn't be able to go full tilt. I mean, obviously, if you look at like Bayonetta or even Snake, they have to tailor the amount of violence that we see because, you know, grenades don't make people actually blow up. And obviously, Bayonetta.
They did it with Snake, so they could maneuver.
Yeah.
You know,
they can make it work. They can make it work. But yeah, like Doom Guy, I feel, would be better than Master Chief because Doom Guy's been around longer. And he's been on more systems, like especially now with Bethesda taking over and doing Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, which were, of course, major sellers. And we're getting Doom Eternal on the Switch eventually. Master Chief, yeah, I get why you would say that. And absolutely, he could work between his, you know, his bubble shield and his various weapons. He's got his sword. And then the final smash could be either, you know, calling down an airstrike, getting on a warthog, and just blasting someone to oblivion. You know, he's got options, and they could easily make it work. But he shouldn't be in Smash Brothers for the same reasons that, you know, like Ellie shouldn't be in there, or Joel, or Nathan Drake. You know, we should get Tomb Raider before we should get Nathan Drake, because Tomb Raider, again, has been on multiple Nintendo platforms in the past.
Agreed on that 100%.
So, And obviously, as Death Battle proved, Laura totally owns Drake.
Would be a good ad, actually.
It would be a good ad. I agree.
I would totally be down with Laura being in there, you know? So there are better options and more, you know, reasonable and logical options compared to, you know, Drake and Master Chief or Marcus Fenix from Gears of War. You know, I get wanting representation and as many franchises as possible, which is why Smash Brothers is the superior fighting game franchise in many respects. But there are other options that we could do that are both third party and part of gaming history. Where's Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden, which has been on Nintendo multiple times, including the incredible original games? You know, like that would be an excellent addition. And who doesn't want a ninja in Smash Brothers? I mean, we got Greninja. Now we'll bring in the original ninja. You're welcome. So, or Strider Hiru. You know, he would be awesome, and that's a Capcom character, so that would work. And, of course, Zero and Eggman and all of them. There's plenty of options, but they're ones that are better than Master Chief and Marcus Fenix. And although I hate to say it, Sly Cooper. I'm sorry, Sly.
Again, like, Sucker Punch has a good reputation. Again, Sly Cooper, I will always love the games, but... Yeah. Yeah, like, again, during that age of platformers, just, like, there's just no one to get... They try to top Mario. Nobody can top Mario. They just can't.
Also, I forgot to mention what I would want for Sly's Final Smash is that, you know, he goes into like a pose or whatever. He grabs the person with the cane, flings them across the stage. They look up, and there's the entire Sly gang just looking at them menacingly with like Panda King and Murray in the front, and they just do like cartoon style dog pile and just like beat the crap out of them before flinging them off stage. Good times. Good times. And with those good times, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, reveal to the world the power of our conspiracy.
Last week, we dug deep and asked you if you believe Nintendo is delaying major releases in order to flood the market with big titles when the console's momentum stalls. Remember, this was on the heels of incredible sales news. And you guys love conspiracy theories because 33% said yes, 22% said an unequivocal no, and 45% said maybe. It's not that crazy.
Yeah. Now, here's the key thing. Here's the key thing. We've done plenty of polls in the past, and they've gotten like 11 votes, and so the numbers feel skewed. Reveal to them how many people voted this time around.
69.
Oh, nice. Man. Nice.
Oh, love it. That's one of our highest in a while. So this is like a good sample of people finding out, for whatever reason, this conspiracy theory. And I love that a lot of people are open to this idea that we have dropped down. We have influence. We can change the minds of our generation and other generations. So, yeah. All right, so for this week's poll question, I want each of us to select one of the third-party characters that we have talked about for our Smash thing, and let's put it to the people on who they would like to have in Smash Brothers, even though they have no chance. My pick is, of course, Sly Cooper. Will, what's yours?
Which one? I mean, Travis has a likely chance. So,
yes, Travis does not count.
Shoot.
Put Goku.
Yeah, let's put Goku.
So Sly Cooper for me, Goku for Will. What's your pick, Tyler?
I'm going Ratchet.
Okay, Ratchet and Clank. So make sure you say that these have no chance, but we want to see what they think anyway. So phrase that however you want. And so let us know what you think in that poll, and let us know what some of your favorite things that we talked about were tonight. What is your Switch sequel that you would like to see made? What is your console or handheld that gave you the best memories in your Nintendo existence? And what characters that you think have no chance of getting at Smash Brothers do you still want to see in the game? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I'm Triforce Dot, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!